Okay, very good. And we're back in for the third hour. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. PJ Barden is my name. I'm burping here. Drinking the wrong kind of water. And we are here on this Saturday, 17th of August, 2019. And we'll be listening there to John McAfee in an outstanding piece. Just go into YouTube and click in John McAfee interview in Romanian tech conference. And it'll come up. And it's 33 minutes. The last 2 minutes, there's questions, but the microphones didn't work there to hear the question. But it's 33 minutes of outstanding advice. The best advice you ever get on protecting your phone, your computer, and all of his, in all of his broadcasts are good. But that's when I went through a lot of his stuff and picked it out, and it suited the program here. So, and Dave, our own Crucial Nonsense algorithm himself, who keeps us on air here with this system, which is outstanding. We have our own version. I won't give out the details of Skype. Far better than snooping Skype. Okay. We have a very good system here, and it's keeping us in good order. But myself, I'm getting a machine, a handheld monitoring EMF meter reader machine. The one I've been chasing for quite a while, for 6 months, is coming to me next week, and I should be doing out testing for friends of mine, etc. And it'll test the entire spectrum of items in houses and cell towers and all the rest. As I say, it goes up to 6 gigabytes, I think, from very low frequencies. And the thing that people don't know, which I will be publishing up or printing up, and I may get the assistance of Jim Lee, who does fantastic graphics. Well, in fact, I will. But I want to be able to pay him something for it. To give people a sheet of what are the minimum levels, the maximum levels there should be. Obviously, no level is a good level of radiation that's coming at them, including induction ovens, which 90% of women don't know how dangerous they are. There's a thing called an aga cooker, which is a wood-burning, turf-burning, coal-burning stove. Big oven thing, very good. Been around for 30, 40, 50 years, and they're fantastic, safe. And they have a silver bar in front of them. People lean against them when they're talking in a house, and it cooks the food, it heats the walls, it heats the whole house, really. But people have a habit of doing that in kitchens with cookers. And the induction ovens are absolutely detrimental to women who are pregnant. They give off shocking amounts, and I have to give credit to Bill Deagle for that one. He's the only one I heard give out about that one. But most people have 7 devices in their houses that are absolutely detrimental. And then if they have LED street lighting outside, wow, which is going on in Sheffield, which I referred to there. Sheffield in England, which is a test bed, treating the population like lab rats. That's what Sheffield and Durham in the UK is. And I was talking to a friend of mine, Janet, who's come through all of this carry-on in the NHS, which is now a demonic organisation. I mean, these organisations are run by demons, absolute demons. And the phrase, take your country back, and 100 other organizations and parts of it as well. It's one hell of a job. And that's why we're on air here in RBN. But I have a piece here from John Whitehead, and I'll pull it out here. It's, okay, here it is, redlined here. And he's going over this. I'll have a good run at it in this hour anyway. But it says, who inflicts the most gun violence in America, the U.S. government and its police forces? And this is John Whitehead. And he's saying here, it is often the case that police shootings, incidents where law enforcement officers pull the trigger on civilians, are left out of the conversation on gun violence. But a police officer shooting a civilian counts as gun violence. Every time an officer uses a gun against an innocent and unarmed person contributes to the culture of gun violence in the country. And that's journalist Cecilia Casullo saying that, yes, gun violence is a problem in America, although violent crime generally remains at an all-time low. I hope it comes to the statistics which the GOA have, the Gun Owners of America. If you take out ghetto violence and these government psychops, actual gun violence in America and the broadstream white population is dropping drastically, and these separated figures are never produced. But this is part one of the thing I'm doing, and I am trying to get them on a long list of stuff I'm trying to get But the GOA will give me the figures. Okay. But anyway, it says here, mass shootings are a problem in America. Although while they are getting deadlier, they are not getting more frequent. Yes, mentally ill individuals embarking on mass shootings sprees are a problem in America. However, tighter gun control laws and so-called intelligent background checks fail to protect the public from the most egregious perpetrators of gun violence in America. And I'm sure he's going to come to, this is me talking, Chicago has the most draconian gun ownership laws in America, and it is the most violent, gun-touting, murderous city in America. Does that ask and answer its own question? I think it does. Consider that 5 years after police shot and killed an unarmed 18-year-old man in Ferguson, Missouri, where there have been no relief from government's gun violence. Here's what we have learned about the government's gun violence since Ferguson, according to the Washington Post. If you're a black American, you've got a greater chance of being shot by the police. If you're an unarmed black man, you're four times more likely to be killed by the police than an unarmed white man. Most people killed by police are young men. Since 2015, police have shot and killed an average of 3 people a day. That's more than 2,500 police departments that have shot and killed at least one person since 2015. Wow. And while the vast majority of people shot and killed by police are armed, their weapons range from guns to knives to toy guns. And he intervenes in his own article and says, help us keep freedom alive, support our work. Okay. Clearly the U.S. government is not making America any safer. Indeed, the government gun violence inflicted on unarmed individuals by battlefield trained SWAT teams, militarized police, and bureaucratic government agents trained to shoot first and ask questions later poses a greater threat to the safety and security of the nation than any armed mass shooter. According to the journalist Matt Agorist, mass shootings have claimed the lives of 339 people since 2015. During the same time frame, police in America claimed the lives of, wait for it, 4,355 citizens. That's 1,200% more people killed by the police than the mass shootings of 2015. And the mass shootings were assisted, as we know, by FBI and secret shooters that the people, witnesses, saw. And Timothy McVeigh's patsies that they chose to do it were up to their eyeballs in SSRIs, right? For example, in Texas, a police officer sent to do a welfare check on a 30-year-old woman seen lying on the grass near a shopping center, took aim at the woman's dog as it ran towards him, barking, fired multiple times, and killed the woman instead. Crikey. In Chicago, a SWAT team wearing army fatigues and black cloth covering their faces and wearing goggles, armed with automatic rifles and throwing flash grenades, crashed through the door of a suburban home and proceeded to storm the bedrooms, holding the children of the household at gunpoint. One child, a 13-year-old Amir, was accidentally shot in the knee by a police while sitting on his bed. In St. Louis, Missouri, a SWAT team on a mission to deliver an administrative warrant carried out a no-knock raid and ended up with police kicking in the homeowner door and shooting and killing her dog, all over an unpaid gas bill. Taxpayers will have to find $750,000 to settle the lawsuit arising over the cops' zealousness. Okay. In South Carolina, a 62-year-old homeowner was shot four times through his front door by police who were investigating a medical assist alarm call that originated from a cell phone inside the home. Dick Tench believed his house was being broken into and was standing in the foyer of his home armed with a handgun when police peering through the front door fired several shots through the door, hitting Trench in the pelvis and aorta. Trench survived, but the bullet lodged in his pelvis will stay there for life. In Kansas, a SWAT team attempting to carry out a routine search warrant. A routine search warrant with a SWAT team, right? That alone is a contradiction in terms. The suspect had already been arrested. Showed up at a residence around dinner time, dressed in tactical gear with weapons drawn. This is the SWAT team. And hurled a flash grenade into the house. Past the 68-year-old woman who was in process of opening the door to them and the general direction of a two-year-old child. There was just a few recent examples. These are a few recent examples among hundreds this year. Curiously enough, in the midst of the finger-pointing over the latest round of mass shootings, Americans have been focused on debating who or what is responsible for gun violence. The guns, the gun owners, the Second Amendment, the politicians, or the violent culture. They have overlooked the fact that the systematic violence being perpetrated by agents of the government has done more collective harm to the American people than their liberties and liberties than any single terrorist act or mass shooting. This is a fairly long article. I'll have to keep with it. I'll go to Ken after this article, but it'll be a while. Violence has become our government calling card, starting at the top and trickling down. For more than 80,000 SWAT team raids carried out every year. 80,000. I mean, is this a war zone? It is, yeah. Sorry, it is. America. 80,000 SWAT team raids carried out every year on unsuspecting Americans by heavily armed, black-garbed commandos and increasingly rapid militarization of the local police forces across the country to the drone killing used to target insurgents. The government even exports violence worldwide, with one of this country's most profitable exports being weapons. Indeed, the United States, the world's largest exporter of arms, has been selling violence to the world for too long. Or too long, controlling more than 50% of the global weaponry market, the U.S. has sold or donated weapons to at least 96 countries. In the past 5 years, including the Middle East, the U.S. has also provides countries with such as Israel, Egypt, Jordan, Pakistan, and Iraq with grants and loans through the Foreign Military Financing Program. I mean, it's like buying a car. We want to start a war. We haven't got the money. So can you give us the finance to buy the weaponry for a local civil war? Isn't that wonderful? GM Finance, they probably use. At the same time, or is it Boeing? Boeing, they're a military industrial contractor as well. At the same time, the U.S. is in equipping nearly half the world with deadly weapons, profiting to the tune of $36 billion a year. Its leaders have been lecturing American citizens on the dangers of gun violence and working to enact measures that would make it more difficult for Americans to acquire certain weapons. They want gun-free zones so they can have a clear shot at you. Yeah? Talk about the absurd double standard. That if we are truly going to get serious about gun violence, why not start by scaling back the American police state weapons war? Well, none of this will be solved without a major uprising. I'll tell you why, because the government has no intention of scaling back on its weapons, sure. In fact, all the while, gun critics continue to clamor for bans on military-style assault weapons, high-capacity magazines, and armor-piercing bullets. The U.S. military is passing them out to domestic police forces. Under the auspices of a military recycling program which allows local police agencies to acquire military-grade weaponry and equipment, more than $4.2 billion worth of equipment has been transferred from the Defense Department to domestic police agencies since 1990, like free grass isn't for nothing, including among these gift-wrapped as well, are a tank-like 20-ton mine-resisting ambush-protected MRAP vehicle, tactical gear, and assault rifles, right? Your friendly local police force. They are now reportedly more bureaucratic non-military government agents armed with high-tech deadly weapons than the U.S. Marine, including the BLM in Arizona. While Americans have to jump through an increasing number of hoops in order to open a gun, the government is arming its own civilian employees to the hilt with guns, ammunition, and military-style equipment, authorizing them to make arrests and training them in military tactics. Among the agencies being supplied with night vision equipment, body armor, hollow point bullets, shotguns, drones, assault rifles, and LP gas cannons are the Smithsonian U.S. Mint. the BLM I was referring to there was a Bureau of Land Management, armed to the teeth as well. Health and Human Services, they're armed, as would appear. The FDA, Small Business Administration, Social Security Administration, National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, Education Department, Energy Department, Bureau of Engraving, Printing, and Assortment of Public Universities, all heavily armed, waiting for you. For that matter, why do police need armored personnel carriers with gun ports, compact submachine guns and 30-round magazines, precision battlefield sniper rifles and military-grade assault rifles and carbides? Short answer, they don't. In the hands of government agents, whether they are members of the military, law enforcement or some other government agencies, these weapons have become routine parts of the American day-to-day life, byproduct of the rapid materialization, militarization and law enforcement over the past several decades. Over the course of 30 years, police officers in jack boots holding assault rifles have become fairly common in small town communities across the country. As investigative journalist Andrew Becker and G.W. Schultz revealed, many police, including beat cops, now routinely carry assault rifles combined with body armor and other apparel. Many officers look more and more like combat troops serving in Iraq or Afghanistan. Does this sound like a country under martial law? Yes, sir, it certainly does. I should go back to my site. Yeah. You want to talk about gun violence. While it still technically remains legal for the average citizen to own a firearm in America, possessing one can get you pulled over, searched, arrested, subject to all manner of surveillance, treated as a suspect without ever having committed a crime, shot at and killed by police. You don't even have to have a gun to look like or a look-alike gun, such as a BB gun, in your possession to be singled out and killed by police. There are countless incidents that happen every day in which Americans were shot, stripped, searched, choked, beaten, and tasered by police for little more than daring to frown, smile, or question, or challenge an order. A growing number of armed police are being shot and killed for just standing a certain way or moving a certain way and holding something, anything that police could misinterpret to be a gun, or igniting some trigger-centered fear in a police officer's mind that has nothing to do with safety. And where are they trained? They're trained by the Israeli, okay? That's what's going on. We have an article on the IBM website. Many police forces go out to do special training in Israel, right? With alarming regularity, unarmed men, women and children, even pets, are gunned down by twitchy, hypersensitive, easily spooked police officers who shoot first and ask questions later. And all government does is shrug and promise to do better, all the while the cops are granted qualified immunity. Killed for standing in a shooting stance in California, police opened fire and killed a mentally challenged unarmed black man within minutes of arriving on the scene, allegedly because he removed a vape smoking device from his pocket and took a shooting stance. Killed for holding a cell phone, police in Arizona shot a man who was running away from U.S. Marshals after he refused to drop the object that turned out to be a cell phone. Similarly, police in Sacramento fired 20 shots at an unarmed 22-year-old black man who was standing in his grandparents' backyard after mistaking his cell phone for a gun. Okay, and I don't know if we're going to a break. Killed for carrying a baseball bat, responding to a domestic disturbance call, Chicago police shot and killed a 19-year-old college student, Quintino Lagree, who had reportedly been experiencing mental health problems and was carrying a baseball bat. Okay, we go to this break and then we'll take the call from Ken after the break, okay?
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Coming back in for the first break of the third hour. I don't know if we still have Ken on the line from New York. Hello, Ken.
Hello. Yes, I'm here.
Very good.
Good evening.
What do you think of it today? Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a smashing good show.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And I had a comment about McAfee, and the by the time I got on the phone, you were talking about a town or something paying out on a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
As far as McAfee goes, if you know anybody that can get in touch with him, why don't you try to get him on for an interview?
We have such a person. We have such a that's on the cards here.
He
moves around the world a lot, is that right? Like Nigel Farage, but that's on the plan.
Yeah, if you could. I mean, I don't think John would have a problem offering him an hour on the network if he just wanted to do whatever he wanted to do.
But the reality, a guy like him would be absolutely inundated with people wanting to interview him, etc. Because, and he stands, I would like to attack him over his bizarre life with women, booze, and drugs. And just mind people talking about that. I'll tell you a story about him. One interview, interviewed him in recent years, said, "Is it fair to describe your life, John, as booze, drugs, guns, and hookers, and software?" He said, "Yeah, that's right. Yeah, next question." Hmm. And he didn't mind at all. Well, he doesn't lie. That's one great thing about him. And he has the best knowledge of anybody. And I said, that 33 minutes, I picked it out of many interviews, is one of the best ones. It's worth listening to a few times. It's very good advice.
I remember the first time that I heard about him, it was on AJ's show about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, and he said he had just, he was ahead of the authorities and got in his private plane out of Belize before they were trying to hang some kind of nonsense charge on about him about underage girls or something.
The major thing, McAfee made hundreds of millions of dollars, but Microsoft and many others tried to put him out of business, but lawsuits cost him an awful lot of money. So he has survived an awful lot of stress, and he's 73 now, but that was an outstanding interview there just 2 years ago. Okay.
And I think it'd be, boy, if you could get him for like a regular from time to time. I don't think anybody's
well,
ever asked him.
To get an interview with him one-off would be very good, you know. Realize what he's involved in. But he doesn't need us, but he would oblige us if he came on.
He doesn't.
That's the fair criterion, you know.
You know, you never know how you're going to strike somebody, and it never hurts to ask.
You're not listening to me. We have that in the pipeline. We're trying to contact a lot of people, and he's one of them, okay?
The other comment is about, I've heard the story again and again about towns having to pay out for an expensive lawsuit. I've never actually heard of one that went broke, and I think the reason is because, I think you're familiar with this, you've heard of the CAFR, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. That's the bailout for these guys. They can make pigs out of themselves. They always have, if something goes wrong, they always have a fund to bail themselves out.
Well, all local authorities have reserve funds as well.
They keep crying that they have to raise taxes for something, but a portion of the taxes always ends up disappearing, and it gets invested with some global company where they're not making any interest.
One of the things I was dealing with today on through YouTube about what's going on in Ireland and in Britain, these NGOs, non-governmental organizations, are cover organizations for government and multinationals to literally creep into society with all sorts of laws and regulations on the basis of helping them. But the NGO thing overall stinks to high heaven. It's another creep, encroachment on people's lives. And that's part of it.
We have some parks here in Suffolk County in New York where they have a sign that says a joint partnership, private and public partnership, with something like the Heritage Trust or something like that. Yeah. And basically they give the property away to some global company or an global interest or the UN. But we keep paying for its upkeep, and they get to use it as a financial instrument.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've had dealing with that, the destruction of the ownership of private property is Tom DeWeese. He's been on this program twice, and he's issued a new bulletin there. He's very long-winded, I have to say. I don't imagine he's listening to me, but he is long-winded, and as is Jim O'Doherty. But I never fail to correct people. And Catherine Fromovich, she's another one. She's a great writer, but what Fromovich writes on activist posts in 10 pages could be written in 3. I always lacerate people in the... We're in an urgent 1 minute to midnight crisis on 100 areas, and they can use all sorts of flowery language, etc. But anyway, anything else? We're coming off to a break.
No, thank you and good night.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll go to this break and we'll be back in a few minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe. Short walks cause cramping or pains in legs. memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Going back in to the bottom of the hour break of the third hour. This is the Barden Report for Republic Broadcasting. And I said I should call us. I'm glad to hear Ken there talking. I think we're doing a good job today. Well, we try to, but some weeks. But with a number of people want to phone in, I'm going to finish an article here. It'll take about 5-10 minutes of John Whitehead, the article on gun violence and gun control in America. But the number is 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. But anyway, John Whitehead was saying, killed for carrying a baseball bat. He's just listing the amount of absolutely mindless, senseless killing of civilians. And most of these cops got off scot-free. I mean, what does it take to rise the American people? I say that many times every week. What does it take? And killed for, we had a very, very tragic death of a police officer in Britain this week who was going, a young guy, just married, and the Daily Mail are covering it comprehensively. Andrew Harper, I think his name is, in the Midlands of Britain there, in Thames Valley area, went to investigate a burglary with another police officer, got out of his car, and a van drove past him and dragged him, ran over him and dragged him about 300 feet along the road. And he died from multiple injuries, absolutely. And that was deliberate. That was not an accident. And there's a traveller's camp up the road, gypsies, which are being investigated for this now today. But a shocking, shocking tragedy. A young guy, smart-looking guy, who joined the police for all the right reasons. Our British police are not armed, by the way. Only special units are armed. And it showed he got married out 3 weeks ago. He was due to go on his honeymoon next week. And it's a shocking, shocking crime. And don't think I'm anti-police for the sake of being anti-police. We're talking about an unarmed, sorry, a heavily armed police force in America trained by the Israeli basically to shoot to kill. And if people can't intercept that and deal with these rogue police officers, and the training of police officers in America is absolutely, it's worse than a battlefield. Search and destroy seems to be the policy. John, sorry, just one second. Just John White had continued his article saying, killed for opening the front door. Betty Jones, who lived on the floor below LeGreer, was also fatally shot, this time accidentally, when she attempted to open the front door for police. Killed for running towards police with a metal spoon in Alabama. Police shot and killed a 50-year-old man who reportedly charged a police officer while holding a large metal spoon in a threatening manner. Isn't that outrageous? Killed for running while holding a tree branch. Georgia police shot and killed a 47-year-old man wearing only shorts and tennis shoes, who, when first encountered, was sitting in the woods against a tree, only to start running towards police, holding a stick in an aggressive manner. Killed for crawling around naked. Atlanta police shot and killed an unarmed man who was reported to have been acting in a deranged manner, knocking on doors, crawling around on the ground naked. Police fired two shots at the man after he reportedly started running towards them. Another one, killed for wearing dark pants and a baseball jersey. Donnell Thompson, a mentally disabled 27-year-old man, described as gentle and shy, who was shot and killed after police searching for a carjacking suspect reportedly wearing similar clothing, encountered him lying motionless in a neighborhood yard. Police only opened fire with an M4 rifle after Thompson first failed to respond to their flashbang grenades and then started running after being hit by foam bullets. Oof. And again, another one, killed for driving while deaf in North Carolina. A state trooper shot and killed 29-year-old Daniel K. Harris, who was deaf after Harris initially failed to pull over during a traffic stop. Killed for being homeless. Los Angeles police shot an unarmed homeless man after he failed to stop riding his bicycle and then proceeded to run from the police. Killed for brandishing a shoehorn. John Rana, a 95-year-old World War II veteran, lived in an assisted living center, used a walker to get around, and was shot and killed by police who mistook the shoehorn in his hand for a 2-foot-long machete. Good Lord. And fired multiple beat-bang rounds from a shotgun at close range. Killed for having your car break down on the road. Terrence Crutcher, unarmed and black, was shot and killed by Oklahoma police after his car broke down on the side of the road. Crutcher was shot in the back while walking towards his car with his hands up. Killed for holding a garden hose. California police were ordered to pay $6.5 million after they opened fire on a man holding a garden hose, believing it to be a gun. Douglas Zerbe was shot 12 times and pronounced dead at the scene. Right. Killed for calling 911. Justin Damond, a 40-year-old yoga instructor, was shot and killed by Minneapolis police, allegedly because they were startled by a loud noise in the vicinity just as he approached their patrol car. Damond, clad in pajamas, had called 911 to report a possible assault in her neighborhood. A woman killed for looking for a parking spot. Richard Ferretti, a 52-year-old chef, was shot and killed by Philadelphia police, who had been alerted to investigate a purple Dodge Caravan that was being driven suspiciously through the neighborhood. Shot 7 times for peering outdoors. 18-year-old Kevin Young was shot 7 times by police from behind while urinating outdoors. Young was just zipping up his pants when he heard a commotion behind him and then found himself struck by a hail of bullets from two undercover cops. Allegedly mistook Young, 5'4" and 135 pounds, and guilty of nothing more than taking a leak outdoors, for a 6-foot-tall, 200 murder suspect whom they later apprehended. Young was charged with felony resisting and 2 counts of assaulting a police officer. that was, this was passe for policing in America, folks, and it's only getting worse. In every one of these scenarios, police would have resorted to less lethal tactics. And the final few paragraphs, this says, they could have acted with reason and calculation instead of reacting with killer instinct. They could have attempted to de-escalate and defuse whatever perceived threat caused them to fear for their lives enough to react with lethal force. The police instead chose to fatally resolve these encounters by using these guns, their guns, to fellow citizens. Speaks volumes about what is wrong in policing in America today, where police officers are being dressed in the trappings of war, drilled in the deadly art of combat, and trained to look upon every individual they interact with as an armed threat, and every situation as a deadly force encounter in the making. Remember, to a hammer, all the world likes a nail, looks like a nail. Yet, as I point out in my book, Battlefield America, the war on American police, the war on the American people, we the people are not just getting hammered, we are getting killed execution style. And the final paragraph, he says, violence begets violence until we start addressing the U.S. government's part in creating, cultivating, and abetting a culture of violence. We will continue to be a nation plagued by violence in our homes, in our schools, on our streets, and in our affairs of state, both foreign and domestic. And that was 2,600 words article by John Whitehead. And that's fair comment as to where things are today in America. I don't know when people are just going to rise up and take their country back, on, as I say, on 100 levels, at least. But it's pretty bad. The other articles are related to this shooting. Said lone shooters, terrorism, and semantics. It's a John Rappaport writing a similar article. He's saying here, this is a big one. It's so big, in fact, so many people want to turn their backs on it and pretend it doesn't and couldn't exist. But it's real. It does exist. And what's he saying? No killing of innocent people can be called negligible statistic. But what label do you apply when the entire government stands by and does nothing while millions of people die? A supposed lone shooter motivated by political ideology kills 20 people, and this is called a terrorist act. But what category do you apply when a government enables monopoly that destroys millions of lives? Don't bother seeking answers from the mainstream media. They play dumb. They pretend to be clueless. They avoid these millions of deaths as if they're not worthy of covering. Yeah, I think he's going on to big form on this article. Doesn't that sound strange? The press, which constantly sniffs the air for stories that will rouse public interest, ignores a force that is routinely killing millions of people. Why? Because they force for the very force pays huge sums of money to the press. So let's start here with one of the most shocking mainstream reviews ever published in a medical journal. The date is July 26, 2000. The journal is the Journal of American Medical Association. The author, Dr. Barbara Starfield, a respected and revered public health expert at the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health, impeachable mainstream credentials up and down the line. Starfield's review is titled, Is U.S. Health Really the Best in the World? She includes, well, for the privileged it is. The U.S. medical, and it's a gargantuan rip-off in cost. The U.S. medical system kills 225,000 people a year. Well, actually, way more than that. 106,000 deaths from FDA-approved medical drugs. That's big pharma. And 119,000 deaths as a result of mistreatment and medical errors. That's 2, 3, 4. That's nearly 500,000 people, right? Wrongly killed under the medical system. Well, manslaughter and murder in there to a big degree. The U.S. medical, extrapolate those numbers out to a decade, that's more than 2.25 million people killed in 10 years by the medical profession. In an email interview I did with Dr. Starfield about a year ago, this is John Rappaport talking, before she died, I asked her whether the U.S. government had undertaken any overall program to remedy this ongoing catastrophe, and whether anyone from the federal government had contacted her to consult on such a program. To both questions, she answered no. Keep in mind that the U.S. federal government, through agencies like the FDA, the CDC, and their parent agency, Health and Human Services, has extensive powers over the U.S. medical system. In fact, the FDA, through its routine manipulation and regulations, assure that the conventional mainstream medical system in America remains top dog, and competition from what was being called alternative or natural medicine, natural health, is reduced as much as possible. It might interest you to know that when a pharmaceutical company wants the FDA to review a new drug and certify it as safe and effective for public use, the pharmaceutical company pays a fee to the FDA. Dr. Sarsfield pointed this out to me. Therefore, it's in a real sense, the FDA works for the drug companies, as if we didn't know. They certainly do, and they have a revolving door of people from Big Pharma going in on the directorships of the FDA, the Federal Drugs Administration. I mentioned all this to make sure you understand that the federal government could, if wanted, to undertake a sweeping investigation of the U.S. medical system from top to bottom and face up to the ongoing tragedy of millions of lives lost. The federal government could come down mightily on the medical system and do everything possible to eradicate this Holocaust. But the government doesn't. It doesn't do that. It stands by while millions die year after year. And Rappaport goes on to say, I could cite other findings that back up Dr. Starfield's published analysis, and I have in other articles here, and keep it simple. The figures of 500,000, it's way above that, by the way. It's way on a cluster of drugs alone in America, there's over 250,000 die regarding SSRIs. Occasionally, he said, I receive email from a reader that goes this way. I showed a friend your article, and he said, what about all the lives that the medical system saves? Why does Rappaport fail? Oh, my God, what some rubbish that is. To which I offer this. Suppose you created an invention, let's call it X, which for the sake of argument will assume saves many lives, but you also notice it kills many people, 250,000 people per decade. Would you simply stand back and assert that on balance you're doing a fine job? Would you do your very best to eliminate all those deaths which are occurring as a result of your X product? To put it another way, would you seek to be humane, or would you be a vast criminal? As I started out above, no killing of an innocent person is a negligible statistic, whether you call it an act of terrorism or something else. What do you call it when the awesome power of an entire government is silent and passive for decades, while the very monopoly is enabling destroying millions of lives? Well, on my right-hand side here, and I run out of time this week, I'm going to go back on Peter Gotti's book next week about the top 10 pharma companies, their criminal records. I'll be reading that out next week. And it makes absolutely incredible reading. On so many levels. And talking about people dying is the final article probably today. Why does the left wing in America say nothing about the thousands of children murdered in abortions, but then screams bloody murder when a mass shooting takes place? And most of the mass shootings are manipulated and proven to be by the federal government to create the atmosphere for a gun grab. And there's been 125 of them since the Reagan era. And Mike Adams has been documenting that. And these photographs of these planned parenthood morons. They're completely oblivious to the irony of it, leftists have deluded themselves into believing that they're somehow to be taken seriously every time they decide to virtue signal about the loss of human life following an alleged mass shooting, even as they simultaneously screech for unlimited free abortions for everybody without apology. On the one hand, leftists want us all to believe that they are compassionate ones who actually, enlightened. They love to think they're more enlightened because they're liberals, who actually care about sanctity of human life. But when it comes right down to it, the only life that the leftists seem to care about is brown and black life, our life that's old enough to start voting Democrat. Unborn life, in other words, has no value to leftists. Not only do today's Democrats fully and shamelessly endorse baby murder on demand, they're actually proud to hold this position. Human life holds such little value to liberals that they even begin shouting their abortions whenever they get a chance of tearing tiny human limbs from limb. I call that abortion a virtue. Badly written. Okay, we go to the last break today, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Okay. Now we're coming back into the last few minutes of the program today, and just a short little bulletin here about I'm heavily involved in this here in the UK. Just won a battle with a major electrical utility on trying to scam the bills here, and I really hit them hard. But new compilation of utility smart meters, many flaws, outrageous bills, fires, and more. BN Frank writing this article. Most of this is article runs into videos, so okay. Just read the headers. Tens of millions of utility smart meters have been installed in the US and around the world, so there's a good chance they are installed on your home and throughout your community, even if your utility company doesn't refer to them as smart. They have been plagued with so many problems: fires, explosions, illness, inaccurate and inflated bills, and more. that citizens everywhere and elected officials have taken action against them, and a documentary was produced about them. But thanks to D.K. Naiwa for this new awesome compilation article about these horrible devices that no one should be forced to accept from their utility company. Well, Fort Collins, Colorado has been a testbed for those for the last 3 or 4 years. And that woman whose son died in university in San Diego, what's her name? I'll think of her name in a minute. She's been fighting that, but that's a testbed area. Like Sheffield in Britain here is a testbed area for that as well. But smart meters are 100% a disaster, and people should absolutely refuse point blank and get together with their community. That's what residents associations are for, and refuse to have them fitted or just take them out, etc., because it's an attack on your very existence. But any bunch of people in the community can get together and surely pick a basic lawyer to take a case against the community. I said I now have myself, as of next week, I'll have an EMF testing meter for testing for friends of mine, and everything I have here is wired. But households have about 8 or 9, 10 things they call electronic smog. And microwaves is not the bloody food, which is poison produced from a microwave. Any parent who gives their children food out of a microwave, I mean, they're delinquent in the extreme. And the other device being these induction ovens, which don't just give off what they call excessive dirty electricity. They are very, very nasty, as are roaming phones. And the routers, iPod routers, and the device has been sold in America, Wi-Fi enabled baby monitors, which is running a video into a parent's bedroom to watch the child or hear the child. That is, they're giving off colossal amount of microwaves and destroying the child's brain. And the first signal of that's happening, and it's already done damage, is when the child gets a shocking sleep disorder, and the adults as well. But a young child with a very delicate skull will react badly. And I'll read the article about Sheffield out next week with the big pharma thing. But anyway, we'll be back this time next week with the Barden Report, and we'll talk to you then.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
This is the Alternative Media, exposing government corruption, defending our suspended Constitution, demanding